Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Daf Memches. We are holding actually around 15 lines off the top of the Amud, right at the two dots. We begin with a story. Says the Gemara, Hahi Itasa, there was this woman who brought her dough into this fellow's property to bake. He used to have a public oven which he used to lend, you know, to his to people, and she came there to bake her dough. Hahi Itasa, this woman that also came in Lameifa to bake her batter, Bahu Besa, in this house there. So basically she went into the yard there where they had the oven, which he would, allow people to use. So it was with permission, okay? Also, barcha, suddenly the male goat, the maribesa of the homeowner, shows up and, ach, lalalisha, he had a good meal? He eats up her dough. Chavil, and he got sick from this overeating, umis, and he dies. Who has to pay? Who's responsible? Says the Gemara, Chayva, Rava, La Shalumi, Dmei Barcha. So Rava obligated the Isha, the visitor, to pay for the lost goat. Asks the Gemara, one second. What happened to yesterday's halacha? Lema pliga the Rav? Do you mean that Rava is in disagreement with Rav Shita? Dama Rav, Rav told us yesterday, when another person's animal consumes my food and dies as a result, I'm not responsible because he overate. He brought it on himself. It's not my liability. Who has the animal to eat? So why is this different? Amri said the response is like this. Big difference. How could you compare the two? In the other case that Rav was discussing, he came in without rishus. He just barges in and brings the stuff in. So, like kabel alene terusa. So, if I come in like that, I'm not accepting upon me. I'm not committing to watch your animal. So, if your animal goes and overeats and dies, I'm not responsible. But over here, in this case, she came in with permission. She had an appointment to use his oven. Hacha bershus, and therefore it's different. Kabel alene terusa. So the customer, the visitor, is basically, you know, by coming in, by entering with his stuff, he's basically saying, look, I am going to look out for your stuff and make sure that your, for instance, your animal doesn't come and, get sick by eating my food. Asks the Gemara, one second. But why is this different than another case that we know? Umayishna, from a case of miha isha shenichneso litchon chite. So we have a case of, it's a braisa, a woman comes in with her wheat, right? She comes in to grind her wheat, etzel balabais, by this person, he has a grinder there, and she's coming shlebrishos, without any permission. And what happened? V'achlos and behemtoi, shel balabais, and the animal of the host, of the homeowner, eats her shipment of chitin, potter, and something happens to him as a result, she's potter. V'muska chayevs. But if the animal sort of slips on the chitim and is harmed in that fashion, she has to pay for that. So it's clear that the only reason why she has to pay, taimash liberishus, it's only because she came in without permission, shows she's fully liable, right? Since he didn't, allow that. So he wasn't going to, willing to accept any responsibility. Rather, she's responsible. Habar rishus, but let's say she had the green light to come in, potter, then she would be potter for any damage that was caused to the homeowner's animal by, let's say, eating her stuff. So why in our case, with the dough, do we say she has to pay? Right? And we tried to explain, well, it's because she came in with rishus, and then in that case, the visitor is assuming responsibility. And here we say, just the opposite, that if it's rishus, right, he came in with permission, then the visitor is not responsible. Says the Gemara, is a big difference. Amri. So the response was presented like this. Litchoin chitim is the difference between coming in to grind, which, when an isha does it, it doesn't necessarily, you know, entail uncovering her arms, and doesn't require the homeowner to leave. There's no tznius factor there. So in that case, it doesn't involve, it doesn't require the marvasa, the chatzah, the owner of the chatzah, the homeowner, to leave and, you know, to get away. And therefore, vala didei rami terusa, since he can still be around, so it's incumbent upon him to watch his animals. So she's not responsible. So if his animal goes out and eats her chitim and dies or whatever, he's responsible, not her. But avo la mefa, but when she's coming to bake, that's a different story that involves more, you know, more physical involvement, and her arms will be uncovered. Kivan de boya hitznius, the tznius factor there. Rashi says she megalas reisel, she uncovers her elbows, right? So there, the owner gets away. Hilkach de boya hitznius marvasa de chatzer mesalken avshayu. So the owner has to leave. So who's left? Only the visitor. Hilkach aladi da rami in terusa. So it's incumbent upon her to look after his animal and protect it. So basically like this. A visitor walks in with dough, with all kinds of goodies that the animals are attracted to, and the animal will get harmed by eating it. So if the visitor came in shlei b'rishus, he's fully responsible. But if he came in b'rishus, it depends. If the homeowner is still meant to be there, then he'll look after his animals. But otherwise, she's responsible. Continues the Gemara. Hich nishayroi l'chatzar balabayis. Amorava, hich nishayroi. Person brings his animal into the chatzar without rishos. And the visitor's animal had a heyday. He's became a digger, pits and ditches and all kinds of. So what happens to any damages resulting from those ditches? So firstly, the owner of the animal, of course, has to compensate for any damages in the actual, you know, property that, you know, that his bull dug up, right? That he has to pay for. But who has to pay for anybody tripping into the bur? Ubal chatzur chayv niske bur. But the owner of the chatzur is responsible for any damages that happen by, you know, animals falling into the bur. Now Rashi points out that although we're going to see it in a minute, although really the Torah says that a bur which was dug by an animal does not obligate, you know, the owner of the animal. Here it's different, because here we're speaking that he was mafkir, his rishus. Rashi says he basically said, look, you made you dug up my property, I'm making it hefka, I don't need it anymore. So he's allowing the public to access that area. In effect, what he's doing is bringing the bird to the street. Typically, you dig the bird in the street, that's a bird which is rab. Here, he sort of brought the street to the bird. The burr was initially dug on his property, but now he turned it into the street. He turned it into public property. So he's chayv. He's actually chayv. And the Gemara elaborates on this. More explains it. Avagav, the Avamar, we learned, ki yichr ishbar. The pasuk describes the burr, one of the arba avos nezikim, as something which was initiated by a person. Ki yichr ishbar, a person dug it. And we learn, v'lo yishoyer burr, as opposed to a burr dug by an animal, no liability there. Here it's different. Here it's considered man-made. Hacha here, kiven the islay lahaych limluyi. Since he should have filled it before he made it hefker, but loy kamalia failed to do so, and he made it hefker in its dug up state. So he basically turned this bur into a bur versus rabim. Kiman de kari dami. It is considered as though he made it. So although physically it was created by the animal, but he actually brought it into the street by making the property hefker. So rather than considering it an animal-made bar, it's a man-made bar. Vamara. Here's another halacha regarding bringing a bull into the chatzar. Yichnes shayroi lechatzar balabayis shalei brishus. Once again, he brings a shayr without permission. V'hizek es balabayis, balabayis v'zak boi chayv. He harms the owner harms, trips on the animal. Either way, the visitor is chayv. Ravatz, I think more figures of ravatz means, he crouched. He sat down on you know, something and demolished it. Potter, visitor is potter. Why? Mushum the Ravitz potter, because he did it this way, is potter. My papa, my Ravitz. Ravitz doesn't mean that. It means shehirbitz glolim. He unloaded his animal waste. V'nit nefukelosh balabayis, and he harmed the homeowner's kalim. So the visitor is potter. Why? This is unique because the Havi Glolim Bur. Because as Rashi explains, we're not speaking that the Glolim, you know, caused damage as they were being released. After it landed and was sitting, and then, you know, the homeowner's thing, you know, sort of got harmed and dirtied or whatever. So it's considered a bur. It presents as an obstacle now. For lemetzino bur, shechi b'sakelim. We know that a bur is only responsible for an animal that tripped into it, but not for kelim. So any item or object that was damaged due to the glolim sitting on the floor is basically a kli, which is being harmed by a bur. A bur is patur on kelim. Now, hanich l'shmo, that works according to Shmo. Amar kol takol a bur. Any obstacle, any hazard is a bur. So these glolim are considered bur. Ela l'rab, but according to Shitas Rav, the Amar adam mafkule. Unless you're mafkure, it's not a bur. It's considered like your possession, like your property, like your shor. Michael Amemar, so why is this a bur? Answer is, Amri, the response is, stam glolim afkure mafkulu. Typically, people care less for the animal waste, and it's considered hefker. And therefore, so even according to Rav, we considered it a bur because he was mafkirit, and therefore it's pater on kelim. Bama Rav, here comes another halacha. Nichnas lechatzer. So until now we spoke about bringing your animal without permission. What about the person himself? He walks in without rishus. Nichnas lechatzer balabayis lebrishus. He walks in without permission. Vizix balabayis, a balabayis vizakboy, and he, as he's walking, he, you know, bumps into the balabais and causes him damage. Or balabais huzak boy, balabais trips on the visitor. Chai, the visitor is totally responsible. But izik koi balabais, let's say the balabais, you know, deliberately is izik balabais, and even, it's a chiddush, even if balabais deliberately punches the visitor, okay? Potter. He's totally potter. Okay? Now, you know, perhaps we're not speaking that he, you know, deliberately tried to be mazakim, but it means to say that, you know, he wasn't being careful. Okay, so he sort of, you know, walked straight into him because he wasn't really looking out for him. That's the point. Okay, so either way, we say the visitor is on the guilty side of things. He came in without permission. So if he caused the balabayas harm, or the balabayas tripped on him, he's fully chayiv. And he's a chiddush. Even if balabayas was mazik his visitor, because he didn't realize that he's potter. Amar papa le'amaran, that's only adalei hava yada bei. It's only if he wasn't aware that this visitor entered. Aval hava yada bei, but let's say the owner knew. He says, oh, I see on my camera somebody walked in. Then he should have been careful. He should have looked out for him as he's walking around, and he should have not bumped into him and caused him damage. He's zikah balabayis chayiv. My timer, why? Mishum da amar lei, because the visitor can tell the homeowner, I understand, I have no business, you know, doing here. Da amar lei nehidi islach rishus alafuke. I understand that, yeah, you can, you know, you can chase me out, right? And even force me out. And Farshim say that you can actually hit him to get out if he refuses to do so, right? But lazuki, 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 so he can't just be mazak me for no good reason. Okay, so bottom line is, Rava, both Rava and Rav Papa make this distinction in a case where a person walks in without permission. So if he was mazak the balabayis, he's chayv to pay. Even if it was inadvertent, it was by mistake. You have no business, you know, roaming around this person's place. Whereas if the balachotzer was mazik his visitor, he's potter. His potter, provided it wasn't done deliberately. Okay? So just emphasize, of course, the balabais can't just hit the visitor for no good reason. It means to say he wasn't being careful. As he's walking through his chotzer, typically you look out, you know, but he wasn't paying attention, and boom, went straight into him, he's pot. Okay, so that's Rav and Rav Papa. So that's the Gemara, Ba'adl Tamayu. And they're actually consistent, they're following their shittas, their opinions stated elsewhere, both Rav and Rav Papa. I'm a Rav and Rav Papa, they both told us like this. You have two people walking down the street, or in a, you know, in a place where they both have permission to be. Shnei Bershus, Reuven and Shimon are there with permission. Or let's say Reuven and Shimon are walking, you know, through a place in a way that's not responsible, in a careless way. Let's say Rashi says they're running through the street. They have no right to run through the street. So they're sort of both on an equal plane, right? They're both there with permission. They're both doing something careless. So hiziku ze chayav. So if they're mazik each other, they're chayav. Husku ze zevtur. If they tripped on each other, then there's no liability. Why? Taima. That's only because ishneim bereshus. Ishneim shle bereshus. They're both on the same footing. They're both there with reshus or without reshus. So, you know, they're both equally responsible, so to speak. Aval echad reshus, echad shle reshus. But let's say one has reshus to be there. One doesn't, such as in our case. Here we say the reshus potur, shle reshus chayav. That the one that is there with reshus is totally potter. Whether, you know, he caused them hezek memelo or biyodai, even, you know, outright hezek, you know, provided he wasn't doing it, you know, deliberately. But, you know, any act of carelessness doesn't matter because you have no business being there. I didn't expect you to be there. Whereas the other fellow who's there, shleib reshus, is fully liable because you have no business being there. That's exactly like Rav and Rav Papa. So the Mishnah spoke about the shor who enters the chatzar without permission, nafal abar, v'yibishmeim of chayiv, and he falls into the bar and he spoils the fresh water he has to pay. Amar Rav Leishon, that's only true, ela sheyivish b'shas nefila. So once again we run to this question of a shor being chayiv, right? A bar not being chayiv, for kalim, right? So let's see, if a shor drops into a bar and is mazik, spoils the water, he's chayiv only if it was done during the nefila, as he's falling in, so it's a shor that's being mazik. But let's say this spoilage only occurs later. So let's say, you know, the animal died in there and, you know, spoiled, and as a result, the water eventually was affected by the animal. Potter. Why? My time have a shor bar. Because at this point, the shor is sort of a passive entity. It's a bar. Umayim kelim, and the water that's being harmed is a kli. It doesn't mean a kli, it means to say it's an object. Right? We never find that a bar is responsible for kalim. Once again, the same discussion. This is good according to Shmuel, who says the Amar Kol Takol Abayru, any obstacle is a bar, so the shor is labeled as a bar. Elul Rav the Amar the Mafkil, labor according to Rav is a precondition. You have to make it half part to be considered a bar. Michael Amemar. So who said he made it hefker? Why are you considering it a bar? Says Itmar, we learned as follows. El Amar Rav Leishon al Shivish Migufa. Rav's distinction was a bit different. The only time the animal owner is responsible for the damaged water is if the shor spoiled the water directly. Rashi says the animal was dirty, and that spoiled the water, so it was a direct mice. But suppose it didn't happen that way. Rather, the animal who died in there eventually spoiled, and the reich, the odor that exuded from the animal, went ahead and spoil the water. In that case, he's potter. You know why? My time. Ugrama balmu. It's an indirect damage. Ugrama balmu lemechayv. You're not chayv ugrama. And the Mishnah continues that if he falls into a bar and he kills the father or the son of the homeowner, you have to pay the kaifer. Mishal masak kaifer. Now we know that kaifer payment is only applied to a shor mu'ad who habitually does these things, right? But my. But in this case, Hatamhu. It's his first time. Amarab, Muad Lipal Nedmal Burris. No, he has a track record. He always falls into the Burris. Askin, and that's the case. Therefore, he pays Kaifer. Yachibar Kutalahu. Well, 1 second. If he's always dropping into Burris and killing people, then he should have been killed already. How do you ever get to the point that you have an animal alive that's been doing this over and over again? He should have been killed the first time. Marav Yasef, the Chazi Yurekiv Anafal. No. He never meant to kill people. He has an inclination to animal, to grass. He sees nice green grass in there. So he's tempted and he's drawn even to a pit, and he has a tendency to fall into pits because of the food inside. So it's not a deliberate act of aggression. And therefore, even if he killed over and over in this fashion, he's not chayav misa. So you have a case where He's still around, even though he's been doing this over and over again. And therefore, when it comes to the kaifer payment, you have to pay because he's a mu'ad. So that's one approach. Okay, so according to Rabbi, he's a mu'ad and he has to pay the kaifer. Shmuel Amar, no. Shmuel says he's talking about a tam. Hasn't done this before. Question was, why Kaifer? Kaifer for a Tam? Yep. There was a sheet that holds Shmuel Amar Hamani Rabbi Yisak Lili, the Amar who says Tam Meshalam Chatzi Kaifer. Just as a Mu'ad pays full Kaifer, a Tam pays 50%. Ula Amar, Ula has a different approach. Once again, we're speaking about a Tam, but I'll explain to you why he's paying full Kaifer. Listen to this. Ula Amar Rabbi Yisak Lili. First of all, it's going like Rabbi Yisak Lili, that a Tam pays Kaifer. But typically you pay Chatzi Kaifer, but here you pay Kaifer Shalom, the Amar Rabbi Tarfin. We're going in accordance with Jesus Rabbi Tarfin, the Amar who says, Keren Mechatzar Nizik. If an animal did Keren, like an act of aggression, if it happened in the Chatzar Nizik, not in the street, but in the victim's jurisdiction, it goes up, it's upgraded to Nezik Shalom Mishalim. Hachanam here as well, just like by damages you pay 100%. In contrast to the typical 50% that a Tam pays, but in Chatzar Nizik, it gets bumped up, upgraded to 100%. The Chanami as well, when it comes to killing a person, with respect to the Kaifer payment, Kaifer Shalom and Shalom, you go up to 100%. So now we have three ways to explain the Mishnah. According to Rav, this fellow was a Mu'ad, and therefore there's Kaifer. According to Shmuel, there's a Tam, Chatzi Kaifer. According to Ula, a Tam, but it's Kaifer Shalom, Chatzar Nizik, because it killed the father and the son and the Chatzar Nizik. Now, Bishlam el Ula, so according to Ula, we very well understand why the Mishnah cited this example. Hainu diktani haya aviv, the soichai, father or son, because, yeah, that's a prerequisite for Nezek Shalom, because we're speaking that it was in the place of the Chatzar Nizek, where they belong. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who does not reckon with this factor of Chatzar Nizek, Mayir ya aviv ibnai, why discuss the father or son as victims? I feel like Achanami, anybody that was killed, doesn't matter who. A short time pays Chatzi Kaifer, right? Urchid Musak Tani is just, you know, a common example. It's not necessarily, you know, a binding example. Okay, if you Michas Bereshus, Bal Chatzar Chayiv. So once again, we go back to that Machlekes in the Mishnah. A person enters without permission, he's fully liable. What if he entered with permission? So we have a Machlekes. Between the Chachamim will say, well, if I let you in, I'm taking responsibility. Whereas according to Rav, according to Rebbe, you can come in, but you're still responsible. Unless I specifically say, look, I be mekabel to be shomer your shor. So again, we're speaking about the owner's, the homeowner's responsibility with respect to watching the visitor's animal. Chacham say it's automatic. Once he gets the green light to come in, it's automatically understood I'm taking responsibility, according to Rebbe. Unless he expresses so, he's not taking responsibility for the visitor's animal. It's Masa we learned regarding the Halacha L'Masa. Rav Amar, we follow the Tanakama, which is the Rabban Hilchoston Tanakama. It is assumed that the homeowner is accepting responsibility. No, we follow Rabbi that you have to express it, otherwise you're not committed. So now we have a price. Knois Sharcha, the homeowner tells the visitor, bring in your animal. But Ushmore, please look out for him. Keep an eye on him. Okay, you watch your animal. I'm not, you know, gonna be involved. So what happens now? The visitor is responsible. Hizik chayiv, who's at potter. If the animal causes damage, he has to pay. If the animal was harmed somehow by the homeowner's, you know, property, the homeowner is potter. I asked you to look after your animal. Don't blame it on me. So that's the reisha. That's the first case. Next part of the brisa. The opposite. Knoyus shorcha v'anish m'renu. I'll be a nice neighbor. Bring your animal in. I'll watch out. I'll keep an eye. I'll guard your animal. So here, the balabai is fully responsible. Who's a chayiv? He's a potter. If there was any damage to this animal, the homeowner is chayiv. And in fact, if the animal causes damage, the animal owner is potter. I'm taking responsibility. Problem is, hogo fakasha. We seem to have an inconsistency within this brisa. First we say, amris knoyis shorcha v'shmarei. The first case, bring him in and watch your animal. Here we say, he's a chayiv, who's a potter. So the visitor is fully responsible for anything. And the homeowner is potter. That's only because he told him. He explicitly told him, keep an eye on your animal. Time of the amalei shmore. Then we say, the chayiv bal ashor, that the animal owner is responsible, potter bal chatzar, and the chatzar owner is potter. Because he told him. Right? Hastama chayiv bal chatzar, potter bal ashor. But let's say it was a stama. He didn't, you know, he didn't express it one way or the other. Come inside. He didn't indicate who's going to be responsible. We assume that the Bala Chatzar is chayv. That's like the Rabbanah, right? Green light means I'm taking responsibility. Hastama, Chayev Balachatzer, for anything that the Shur does, Upata Balashur. Sorry, Chayev Balachatzer for anything that happens to the Shur. Upata Balashur, and the Shur owner is Pata for anything that the Shur does, because he's in your hands, right? So the Bestama Mekabal in Terusa. The assumption is, even if he didn't express it clearly, that the homeowner is Mekabal Achrayis. That's like the Rabbanan. Good, okay, fine. In Mosef, the problem is, let's move on to the next part of the Brayza where it sounds like Rebbe is speaking. Well, you need to express it clearly. We make no assumptions. Amosef, Knoyus Shur Chavani Yesh Mirenu, bring your animal and I am going to watch it. You have to say that. Here we say, who's a chayv, he's a putter. Anything that happens to the animal, I'm responsible. If the animal does anything, you're putter. That's only because I specifically told you, I'm going to watch it. Tamad Amrli Vanish Mirenu. Then we say, yeah, all these things kick in. The Balachatzer is chayv, and the Balashar is putter, the Machayv Balashar, but the Balachatzer. Hostama, but let's say he didn't express it clearly. He says, come inside. In this case, we say the animal owner maintains his liability. Chayv Balashar, Pata Balachatzer. Why the Mustama Loy Mekabal, Olein Terusa? We don't assume that the homeowner is Mekabal Achrayis. That's going like Rebbe. That's on the Rebbe, the Amor says, Achi Kabal, Olein Balabais in Terusa. Unless the Balabai specifically accepts responsibilities, Pata. So we have a steer in the price. Reisha, the first part where it's assumed that the homeowner is Mekabal Achrayis, that's the Rabbanan. We save the next part of the price where it's not assumed, this Rabbi. How does that work? Amar Belazar, you're right. Tavra, let's sort of split the price. Misha Shanazu, Shanazu, two different authors, two different shittas. Rav Amar Kula Rabbanan, he, no, the entire price from beginning to end is Rabbanan. Liability on account of the homeowner who allowed him to come in is assumed. It's a given. Kula Rabbanani. I did the Nasa Reisha Shmore. Well, just, you know, the Brisa has sort of used matching language. Since in the Reisha, the Brisa specifically mentioned that the homeowner told the visitor to watch his animal. It's the only way that the homeowner is pata, because I told you to watch your animal. So because we used that Lashon in the Reisha, so we sort of flipped it and used contrasting language in the Sefer. In the Sefer Vanish Mirenu, the Sefer, he said, I'm going to look after it. But he didn't really have to say that, because it's assumed, unless indicated otherwise. So that's Rav's approach. Rav Papa goes the other way. Papa Amar Kula Rebbe. No, the entire Braisa from beginning to end is Rebbe. Rebbe. The Baal Chatz, the Baal Abayis, is not Mekabal Achrayis unless he specifically indicates as such. So the question was, why in the Reisha does the Baal Abayis have to tell the visitor, watch your animal? It's assumed unless he specifically accepts responsibility. Right? So what's the point of that? The answer is like this. So here we're going like Rab Tarfon. The Omar who says, Rabbi had this before, Keren, Bechatzra Nizuk, Nizuk Shalom Shalom. The animal causes harm. He attacks in the Chatzra Nizuk, in the victim's territory. He has to pay full pay. No, you know, 50% discounts. Hilkach, therefore, like this. Saying Shmorei, meaning the homeowner telling the visitor, watch your animal, that changes the equation with respect to this halacha. Hilkach Amalei Shmorei. If he tells his visitor, yo, come inside, but look after your animal. What he's basically saying is like this. You know what? You can come in, but, you know, at your own risk. And, you know, it's not really your, don't get too comfortable here. Le'makne le'mokim b'chatzer. He's not like giving him away part of the chatzer. He's not, you know, consigning to him part of the chatzer. V'avid l'cheren b'chatzer nizik. So now, if his animal, if the visitor's animal harms my animal, so it's called keren b'chatzer nizik. Since he doesn't really have ownership, even temporary ownership he doesn't have. So when his animal harms mine, it's called Chatzar Nizek. It's exclusively my territory, and therefore you have to pay Nezek Shalom. But Le'yamar Le'shmari, without saying that extra word Shmari, watch your animal, rather he just, you know, welcomed him with open arms, come inside. So basically what he's saying is, I'm allowing you sort of, you know, temporary partial ownership in the Chatzar. He's giving him like a kinyan, mokim b'chatzer, to use the chatzer. Now sort of it changes the halachic status of this chatzer. It turns into sort of a partnership now, a jointly owned territory for the time being. And what happens there? So now if your animal gores mine, it's like it occurred in a chatzer shutfin, a place where we both have ownership. And here it's just like a regular halacha that a tam pays chatzin ezek. Beautiful pshat. Okay, So let's just go back. We had the story with the animal who consumed the visitor's food. Well, if he came in without permission, so we say the visitor, according to Rav, the visitor is potter because, you know, the animal should not have overeaten. It's his issue. But if he came with rishus, the Gemara says basically, in a case where the owner, you know, had to leave because of tznius issues, then the visitor is taking full responsibility for the for his food not presenting, you know, a hazard. We had a chiddush that even a bird that was dug through a shur can carry liability if the owner of the property made it hefker. So basically, he initiated its bur b'shus rabim status. It's a man-made bur, man-made obstacle for which he's chayev. We discussed the glolim, which are considered hefker. We had the aloch of a man entering a chatzur and, you know, getting entangled with the homeowner. So for shleb rishus, the visitor is chayev, and the homeowner is pater. And Rav Papa said it's only if it wasn't deliberate, if he didn't know about him. But if he knew about him, he knew about this visitor, he should have been extra careful and not bumped into him. Regarding the water that was spoiled, so if the spoilage happened during the nafila, the shayar is chay, but later on he's pato because it's a either it's because it's a bar, or Gemara says later because it's a grama. Grama is pato. If during the fall into the bar he killed the person, he has to pay kaifer. How much? Well, it depends. If he's a mu'ad, he pays the kaifer shalom. If he's a tam, typically you pay chatzi kaifer, but there is a case here where we say, according to Rabbi Tarfon, chatzar nizak, you pay kaifer shalom. Then we have the braisa with the apparent contradiction, which we resolved several ways. All the best to you and atzlocha rabbah.